Sunjay. Runs a 395. Sunjay. Gucci Gonga. Nga me the Let's go. Gucci Gonga. De Datayan. Rinpoche said, well, we left off on this stanza last time. So that was correct. That's the one we left off on. Okay, Datayan. Rene. So Rinpoche would like to have a brief explanation of the teachings for beings of three capacities, because these teachings are teachings that combine all of Lord Buddha's teachings, as does this text called The Precious Garland by Nagarjuna. But the teachings for beings of three capacities, the Lam Rim tradition, puts those teachings in an outline that is very easy to understand and apply on a daily basis, and a very easy technique to use as a mirror to see whether or not the practices you are engaging in are concordant with what the Buddha taught and with the scope that you're really at, what your aptitude really is in terms of what your final goals are, and what your final goals are and your aptitude in relationship to those goals can be seen in the mirror of the Dharma. And using the teachings for beings of three capacities allows us to really understand it in a much easier fashion. So once we do understand that kind of summary of all Lord Buddha's teachings, and how they fit into the path, then we can take any of these other texts, such as Nagarjuna's Precious Garland, or any of the other five great treatises or collections of Nagarjuna, and really understand what the intent is and how they fit into the path. So when we look at those three capacities, or the teachings for beings of three capacities, they are related to individuals' aspiration or individuals' goals in terms of spiritual growth and in terms of spiritual results, really. So in terms of the lowest category of teachings, when we look at all of the teachings that Lord Buddha gave, they fit into what's called the Kangjur, the pronouncements of Lord Buddha. And then Indian pandits such as Nagarjuna and his spiritual son, Aryadeva and Chandrakirti and Shantideva and all of the other masters commented on the collected works and pronouncements of Lord Buddha. And those teachings, which are considered and were authenticated by all of the great scholars, total a number of 213, the pronouncements total a number of 100, making for a total of 313 texts, which are just barrels of information. And then what the Lam Rim tradition does is takes those barrels of information and puts them into an outline that makes sense for someone who is less able and maybe not as sharp a capacity. Someone like me who needs more of the transitional steps and conversations and understandings in order to really, really apply this path. If I look at any of the sutras or any of the authentic Indian commentaries without any kind of basis, they're so encoded. And then we have literal and figurative teachings, and literal and figurative means different things according to the different tenet systems. And I would love to say I'm a Prasangika follower, but unless I know what all the other tenets are, I don't know. I've negated them in my own mind. So I'm not sure if I really hold the high view or not. I just am like an ant, Nagarjuna says, that one ant goes one way and then all the other ants follow that way. But in this case, luckily I'm following a correct ant, but I don't really have any knowledge myself of those things that are to be negated. What is that object of negation and why these other views don't negate it in the same way? And when I started to study some of even the lower schools, I found them hard to negate at times, and realized that I was holding on to a lot of those views snuck into this Madhyamika view that I thought I was holding. So I started to understand, and now I want to go back and really, really go hard understanding of the tenets, because I realized that, yes, the Prasangika view is the ultimate view, but there are only a few who were able to just quickly ascertain it. Most needed these gradual stages of negation in order to land at correct view. And I feel I'm one of those people. So I'm so grateful we have those commentaries and works available. So the Buddha said, if you want spiritually to not have to be born in the lower realms, you practice the small scope. The small scope is going for refuge to the three jewels, engaging in ethical behavior that abandons 10 non-virtuous activities, and then acknowledging negativity if one engages in it. Buddha said, if you do so, you will become free. You will be free from the lower realms. Some individuals weren't satisfied with that and said the lower realms are suffering and the higher realms are suffering also. We can't escape the pervasive compounded suffering no matter where we are in cyclic existence. So it's necessary for us to be liberated. But what the Buddha did isn't something I can do. I can't become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings. I'm not even sure that all can. So I just want to have an individual liberation for my own self. My goal is to just be free from those lower realms. The Buddha said for an individual like that, they practice the previous teachings of going for refuge, abandoning non-virtue, acknowledging downfalls, and then engage in the three highest higher trainings of ethics, concentration, and wisdom. And in dependence upon that, that practitioner could be free from cyclic existence altogether, free from the afflictive obstructions. Some practitioners said that was not enough. I want to become what Buddha has become. I want to have the same status as Buddha Shakyamuni and Tara and Manjushri and all of these other deities. I want to be a Buddha. So the Buddha said, if you want to do that, there's only one way to do that, and that's to practice the great vehicle. That's to practice the small scope, going for refuge, abandoning the 10 non-virtues, acknowledging downfalls, and practicing the medium scope of the highest higher trainings in ethics, concentration, and wisdom. And then those practices align with and almost like the Big Bang, just saturate all of those with the mind that aspires to enlightenment, bodhicitta, and then practice the six perfections through the perfection vehicle or the resultant vehicle. And if you do so, you will become a Buddha. And depending on which of those two you choose, it will take a longer or shorter amount of time. And that's really the synopsis of what the three teachings for beings of three capacities did. They presented a way out of the lower realms, out of cyclic existence, for you are self alone, and a way to become a Buddha. And all of those teachings were put into an order, and it shows a practitioner how to start from where he or she is, and then to end as a Buddha. And then with that outline and that understanding, we can look at this text we're about to begin at stanza 395, and understand where each of these fit into the path, or if they're just information to enhance the view of emptiness, which fits into the path if it's in the medium or great scope. So according to Aryadeva, even a Hinayanist realizes the Prasangika. If you don't realize the Prasangika, then you can't become a foe destroyer. So it's not that only Mahayanists realize the Madhyamika view. If someone is a foe destroyer, they have the Prasangika view, according to our lineage, according to our school, our look, our stuff. So it's not like only Mahayanists can realize emptiness correctly. So all of these teachings on emptiness are applicable at all times. And that's another reason why it's a sign that it's a teaching of Lord Buddha, because we see that concordance with, and then the branching off of the Hinayana, which proves that there are extra steps to get to where Buddha did, because the Hinayanas don't get to where Buddha did. Okay. Gurchukunga.
Okay, Landiba Le, number Musu Chitnado. Kaji so long, Dubis, Kaji Landinimate. That do your Kaji Lusanji go there. Diva Pombishet Chitnado, choose on with us. Kaji Lusanas Avicheto.
Lesser.
Choose on with us.
Lesser.
Kaji Landini, my Miami Chitnago.
Lesser.
Kajilane Kontro Nyeba yina, chosunba yina, ane dawa chuchokunga shalim ngurees, shalandu. Tene jina, chitinda, zebi chene chabarato, cheba wala, niji yi, nyeba jente, ta gundu.
Chicha.
Wende jine, Monsieur, tu es Jesse, Jacana, Dena, Chuda, Tadundo, tu es Rodo, sont tous Zé. Tu es Chuda, Tadundo, Tadundo, tu es Rodjouan, Nagin, au Diabusiris. Tonde Zé. Rambishi, Tsuma, Le Jabi, Chitambate, Louis Jibobos.
Data Yen. Then the ANGK, Lo. Shira Yabudu. So, stanza 395, it's showing the diversity of teachings that the Buddha gave, giving these teachings according to the scope of the practitioners. So, it says, to some he taught doctrines to turn away from their ill deeds, to some for the sake of achieving merit. To some doctrines based on duality, to some doctrines based on non-duality, to some what is profound and frightening to the fearful, having an essence of emptiness and compassion, the means of achieving unsurpassed enlightenment. So it shows the scope of what the Buddha taught. The Buddha taught that there, even to some, that there was a self. You see in, I think, 5 of the 18 schools of the Babashika, you can find some actual self being presented. And to some taught emptiness at the prasangika level, at the consequence view level. So each being had an individual need, and the Buddha, having omniscience, knew how to teach to scope. So it's showing how, and proving to the Hinayanist, to the Hinayanist practitioner, that it's possible that there are doctrines that are outside of the scope of their doctrines, and not only possible, there must be doctrines outside of the scope of their doctrines, because the result of Buddha has occurred at least once that Buddha can state, because the Hinayanists concur that the Buddha is a Buddha. So if there is a result, a state of being that's possible for a mind possessor, then it's possible for mind possessors. The state that Buddha has reached is possible for all beings. So this extra information that is given was given to those who were at a higher scope or in a higher aptitude and had more of an ability to hear it and understand it. And you see, even when you look at Mahayana texts, this isn't just something about building this faith. And here it's talking about getting rid of this negative feelings towards it. But this idea of building faith, you see at the beginning of all texts, how you build faith as a sharp capacity person, how you build faith as a dull capacity person, and what you rely on in the text for that, and what you rely on the text for that. So this idea of generating faith is an actual realization that takes place that makes you kind of say, oh, this is valid. It's an actual realization that takes place in dependence upon various signs and reasoning. So the signs and reasoning are being laid out as to why there's this other information and how to generate faith in it. It says to some, therefore the wise should extinguish any belligerence towards the great vehicle and generate special faith for the sake of achieving perfect enlightenment. Through faith in the great vehicle and through practicing that what is explained in it, the highest enlightenment is attained, and along the way, even all worldly pleasures. At the time when you are a ruler, if you should internalize firmly all, the practices of giving ethics and patience, which were especially taught for householders and which have an essence of compassion. So it's saying these teachings that are given, which have at the root compassion, the practices of the six perfections were especially taught for householders. Why? Because householders have means of giving. Householders have the ability to make efforts which are outside of the monastery, which are large efforts, and which can, because they are a householder isn't able to have the highest virtues, which is the vows of a monastic, because he or she has chosen to live as a householder, there are other ways that the householder can create virtue that are different from how a monastic can create virtue. But then Nagarjuna goes on to say, if this world, though, is too much for you, and you can't live righteously as a householder, you should become ordained. However, if from the unrighteousness of the world it is difficult to rule religiously, then it is right for you to become a monastic for the sake of practice and grandeur. The fourth chapter of the Precious Garland, an indication of royal policy. Oh, the seed. So, sapun table. Okay. I'll explain it. Fourth, and he wants to give them the chilies specifically. If we do we have enough? Dan. There's two Dans. Dan Kong Dans. Kong Mo Mambo Drosum. Yeah. The Kong de Rimo the Kandun Sheda Ninjepo. Ah the Chiran Trisan. Kong Trisan. Okay.
Yeah, can you?
Okay, so not Triwa, you're right. Any the Jiten, the Kalikana, then Drapa J, Kon Drapa Jena, the Umarinchin Chinwa, Drapa Jena, Jabo, Yushu Go. Drapa Dan Jabo Nyamdu Digurbe. So my question to Rinpoche was, at the end it says, if it's difficult to rule religiously, then it is right for you to become a monastic for the sake of practice and grandeur. So I asked him, does that mean that he has to not be a king anymore? Like that he would get rid of, and Rinpoche said, no, he could be a king and a monk at the same time. And then we see an obvious example of in Tibet, the Dalai Lama. I was asking this question like I've never heard of such a thing. Takes me a minute sometimes. Then Jao Rinpoche. Jao Rinpoche Drapa Yin. Pujong. Jiaopo Yin. Rabodu. Okay. Then the Natsu. It's a little hot today, I think. Maybe questions and answers today for a little bit. And yeah, and maybe there's some on the thing, because we ended the fourth chapter, so Rinpoche closed the book when the fourth chapter ended. And I had another one open, so I snuck it over, but... yes, Dan.
Well, I have three questions.
Kontriwasom,
so I'll start with the first question.
Shikshin de mikshe yushu, gongi konsu datu ure. Now I can see you guys.
I want to clarify the understanding. The difference between what is considered a pure land,
okay,
and what is considered a heaven, like the Tushita heaven.
It's about, a pure land.
I've heard about Tushita heaven. I've heard about the Amitabha's Buddha, pure land.
All pure lands.
And so I'm curious to know the nature of the pure lands. And we'll start with that.
Okay. Did Rinpoche Dajin Garre? The Tushita Dajin Yimba? Amitabha Dajin Yimba? The Dajin Kanga Dajin Garre? Donde Garre? The Gyanja Suruna. I just want to say it right. Okay, so it's the four teachers. Yeah. Okay, so a pure land is qualified being free of suffering and the causes of suffering. So it's a land that is does not have suffering and the causes of suffering. Gunzun demba dang, dungyal demba dang, gunzun demba. Gunzun demba maybe she. Mei Fi Xin.
What the use?
Okay, yeah, okay. Yes.
Okay, so and my second question is, so the other thing that would be interesting to know is why it is that in Tibetan Buddhism, there's no major emphasis in seeking out of Pure Land. The emphasis is more on individual practice. Can you describe why?
But you'd be a Buddha if you would be an Arhat if you're in a Pure Land. So the emphasis is the same. It's just emphasis on the result maybe is different. Or the talk of result maybe is different, or the way we fit the talk of the result is different maybe.
What I mean is, for example, people might pray to Amitabha to be born in his Pure Land, but they would not necessarily yet be an Arhat. They would still be, they would still have negative karmas.
Rinpoche, Susu Ju Dajin De Tugudue. I asked him if an ordinary person could stay in a Pure Land, and he said it'd be very, very difficult.
Okay.
Yimbe Misipa? Sipa. Susuju. It's not possible. Misipa. Not possible for a. Now, this, the Longku. The Papa Shanchu Semba Becha Trigudu. The Longku, the Dajin Degudu. Then Longku Ku, Shansen Papa, then Konsu Dugnyal Demba Yure. So Arya Bodhisattvas have necessarily gotten rid of the cause suffering and the cause of suffering? At the eighth Bodhisattva ground that happens, the afflictive obstructions are done. So I don't know something very clearly. Can you help with this at all? Or are you? I'm. So they don't have grasping at true establishment? Which is the cause of, he said, no Gunjun Denpa. Good, the Shanchu's Shansen Papa Gunjun Denpa. Maybe Cha. Okay, I can deal with that answer. So, okay, I'm good with that. Okay, so the Dugnyal Rapa, Dugnyal Tramo, Shanchu Semba, the Papa, Shansen Papa, Dugnyal Rapa Dan Tramo. Kanga, yo mare. Yine the longku, the longku core, this shansen papa. This shansen papa kanga, the gunju demba maybe shansen? Okay, I can deal with that too. Okay, so the Arya Bodhisattva, so there are Arya Bodhisattvas who have origin of suffering, and Arya Bodhisattvas that don't have origin of suffering. Then the Shansen Papa Kashe Gunjun Denpa Yu. Then Shansen Papa Kashe Dugnyal Denpa Yu Me. So you hear my trouble. So Shansen Papa, Shansen Pana Dugnyal Denpa maybe Cha. Then Nuji Mapon. This is what I was thinking. Nuji Mapon. Then the Shanchu Semba Nuji Mapon Ken. The Wonku Becha Chi Tugudu. Okay. All right. So my question was this. Sorry, I've been speaking in Tibetan. I don't even know what I've translated or not. So my question was this is so Rinpoche was saying that the Arya Bodhisattvas don't have, I asked him how the Arya, so this is why it went this way, because the way I asked it. I asked him just work with me for a minute. Yeah. I'm doing it all in my head right now. How are in, if you look at the definition of the enjoyment body of a Buddha, the qualifier is that the retinue of the enjoyment body of the Buddha are Arya Bodhisattvas. Okay. That's who the enjoyment body is teaching. So I said to Rinpoche, then how is it possible that that's happening? And Arya Bodhisattva is not enlightened yet. Yeah. There are Arya Bodhisattvas who still have all the sufferings. You okay. become an Arya Bodhisattva at the path of seeing, at the path of release. The uninterrupted path, then the path of release, and you become a Arya Bodhisattva. You could argue you're already one when you start there, but it's a citta in your mind. I'm not sure. It's not moving at that point because it's non-conceptual. So around that time of the path of seeing, you become an Arya Bodhisattva. But you still have these obstructions to omniscience. You still have these imprints of the afflictions, and you still have some of these subtle afflictions, afflictive obstructions. You still have the afflictive obstructions. Can have, you still can have the afflictive obstructions at that point.
Okay.
So it takes till you get, the eighth bodhisattva ground, I believe.
Yes.
The sa jepa nujipacha je pansa.
This is sajima duva, this is tiba nujipacha sajiva. Sajiva niya dunga deva kuji dunga.
Okay, so yes, at the eighth bodhisattva ground, the truth of suffering and origin of suffering are gone. Yes. Now, they're not Buddhas yet because they still have the rest of the grounds to get rid of the imprints of the afflictions.
Right.
So that bodhisattva no longer has the truth of suffering and the origin of suffering. That bodhisattva can abide in the enjoyment body's pure land and receive teachings because he doesn't, or she doesn't have the truth of suffering or origin of suffering. So all Arya Bodhisattvas can't, not every Arya Bodhisattva can get the teaching from an enjoyment body of a Buddha. This isn't, if I thought it through, I probably would have come to this, but this is all such wonderful new information. So it's only those Arya Bodhisattvas who have reached that eighth ground, Rinpoche is saying, who have gotten rid of the origin and truth of suffering that are saying when they say that the bodhisattvas don't have those truths and origins. They're yeah. speaking of those eighth ground bodhisattvas.
Okay.
So if you have origin of suffering or truth of suffering, yeah. it doesn't sound like you can be in a pure land, because a pure land is like, when you say samsara, it's your samsara. You know what I mean? It's my samsara. So if it was your pure land, it wouldn't be compatible unless you had the truth of suffering and origin of suffering gotten rid of.
Yes.
So now other traditions might interpret things differently, right. but this is how Rinpoche is saying this tradition interprets the pure land.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
So then my final question would be...
any mistakes I made in translation, I apologize to Rinpoche, you know,
those
stuff.
So if you believe in the pure lands of the Buddhas,
yes.
In the other traditions, they also have these other realms that are considered, you know, divine, or, you know, like in Christian heaven.
We have it.
Or in Islam, they have paradise. So in the same way that, for example, like the devotees in China who believe that if they pray to Amitabha, will be reborn in his pure land, people who believe in Jesus, they pray to Jesus, they'll be reborn in heaven. And those who believe in Allah, they would be reborn in paradise. Are these all potential realms of existence? Or
Buddha
are these...
taught that there was a self to some,
yeah.
and there was no self to others.
Yeah.
So once we know that part, when we start to look at other traditions and they seem incompatible, we have to just hesitate for a second and say, you know, first of all, what are they are they saying that through their faith and through accumulating merit, I would argue that yes, doing what they're doing, you have to do that
yeah.
in order to have a pure land.
Right.
So they're making mantras and they're gaining merit.
Right.
I don't know if they're meditating on emptiness. I can only know what I'm doing. I'm not doing that a lot.
Okay.
But what they're doing or not doing, but what they're doing is necessary to do to become a Buddha.
Yeah.
Everything that's taught is a path or a byway to becoming a Buddha.
Right.
If it's accurate Buddhism, if it traces
yeah.
back to Lord Buddha, that's the key part. And Buddha said, if it doesn't, and someone's saying that it does, attack it like the roar of a lion. So I don't, you know, So it's about keeping the tradition pure, but then also having respect. And it says in the last teaching we had, equanimity is the best place to be. This, you know, neutrality. Then the Amitabha, the Dajin, the Jai Kashe, the Gonja Odu, and Kon Sampa, the Zonga Mambo Dana, Dajin Drogre, the Dajin Drog, the Shanchu Jesen, Doni Dopi Shera, Goma Jana, Dajin Drog Tugumari, then the Garje Rinpoche. Yeah, later they'll be able to be in a pure. So that I asked him, in our practices, we say that it's not possible to enter a pure land without practicing bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness. I mean, as there's a lot more, but those two things are important to us. And we say you can't do much without those. Why in these other traditions do they say just do this? And he said, because they will later achieve those results. And there will be that connection. You know, we've done so many bad things in so many lives. Imagine if we could for our whole life pray to Amitabha or Amitayas, you know, like you know, and like abandon non-virtue. Like maybe that's better than being the smartest guy in the world, you know, about Buddhism.
The
Umajupa Le, the Leokagi. Yanja Surana. He just was quoting. I'm so amazed at his age that he says, he's just been thinking about this. And he says, the reason that the eighth ground Bodhisattva has abandoned the origin of suffering and the truth of suffering is shown in Chandrakirti's entrance to the middle way. He just quoted it. And I just was, again, blown away. We were doing the Abhisamma Alankara and he quoted the first page of it, like put the book down, and he was like, basically what all of this commentary by Panchen Sonnandrapa is talking about is this. And he did the Nyantushe Watso, and he just started, you know, Sanjay Dang Shanchu Simba Lasha Tamche Lasha Tselo Nyantushe Watso, and he just quoted the whole first part from memory. So it gives me goosebumps every time I see it, because it was a few years ago I memorized some things. I just don't even remember at all. And just to see that level of just precision of mind still there is just amazing. Then the Yanjir Suranang, the Long, Umajuba Long.
Umajuba Le, Sajibala, Tamata, Tajin, Washington, Sajibikoso, Dungedaba, the Punjaba, Tawane, Severus.
So it says in Chandra, in the entrance to the middle way, that the eighth ground bodhisattva has killed the word or abandoned the suffering and the origin of suffering. So it's quoted. There's maybe a couple words in there more. We can grab the book right when this is over. It's right in there. It's on the eighth chapter, I would guess. So yes. Next question? Yes, Coleman.
Yeah, I'm just like super.
I'm dying to get that book right now. Just
like mantra. Yes. It's like a very broad category. I mean, like, I know there's that four tantras of like, I don't know, can you just elaborate?
Action.
Yeah, but are there more than just those
actions? Okay, the Shaju Jie, the Judy Jie. Okay. Less so. Then the Ju Kanga, the Nala Yurube. Then the Kashe, the Shaju, Shuju, the Droma, Dan Chen Rezi, the Kanga Yurube? Shaju, Shuju, Nejo Lana, maybe Ju Kanga.
Okay.
So there are four classes of tantra, and they're kind of in terms of higher to lowest, lower to highest, in terms of subtlety, if you will. In terms of subtlety, the lowest to highest, and in terms of the abandonment of ordinary appearances gets even more and more as you get into the higher tantras. And the impurity into purity becomes at the utmost level at highest yoga tantra. So, you know, as everything becomes more subtle and less emphasis on anything that's seems real. So there's action tantra. We take a lot of action tantra initiations. Rinpoche always is, that's what he chooses to do. He's given all the high tantra initiations before he came to us. Right before he came to us, he had just gotten done with like a whole 3-month teaching on Yamantaka and gave the initiation. But that was at the request of His Holiness, and it was something he didn't want to do, and did it because His Holiness asked him to. Rinpoche feels very strongly about keeping the lineages of certain things very secure and foundations very, very present. So action tantra, we take a lot of the lower tantras, Chenre, Zig, Tara, Manjushri, those medicine Buddha we've taken. But Rinpoche said that some of those deities also are present in all four tantras. And there are practices of those in all four tantras. So for instance, he said Tara, you find in all four classes of tantra. And you find it even in the Yamantaka practice itself, you find Tara who comes to Yamantaka. So they're just in terms of difficulty, action tantra, performance tantra, yogic tantra, and then highest yoga tantra. So when the Dalai Lama gives Kala Chakra, for instance, that's highest yoga tantra initiation. Just based on the subtlety of view. Why is the Madhyamika Prasangika view? Because it's the final, most subtlest view. Most sophisticated final view. Without highest yoga tantra, you cannot become a Buddha.
Right.
At the final stage, you have to have highest yoga tantra to become a Buddha. The Nejolana Mepi Ju Mena, the Saje Gulena, the Saju Sanje Jayumare. Yeah, you can't become a Buddha without highest yoga tantra.
And that's just like meditating on it, right?
Lot. Yeah. Huge lot. It's about becoming the deity slowly, for real. It's practicing as tantra is about trying to abandon the appearances and act as if you are the deity and practice like you are the deity when you're doing the practice so that you can slowly transform into that deity. Not transform into that deity, transform into what that deity was able to transform into, a pure being. By following what that deity did, you can become a pure being. So you act like that deity. So that you can get the result of that deity.
So you're following instructions
to become a deity? It's so subtle. Yeah. I'm trying not to. Tantra's secret, and you have initiations. I don't know if everyone here does. Rinpoche doesn't talk about it a lot, so I only talk about what Rinpoche talks about. So I'm trying here. Rinpoche, so what is the real question that you want to know? It does, because one of the strongest forms of energy and attachment you have is at the point of when you are in having intercourse, right? At that point of orgasm. So the point of Tantra is not seeing that as a sexual event. They are not having that occur. They're utilizing, that is a symbol of the utilization of the power that happens at that moment and transforming it into love, compassion, and the wisdom realizing emptiness. So taking that normal, ordinary, attached feeling,
yeah,
unattaching it and transforming it into purity. Now Rinpoche said, if someone can do that, they can stand in front of an apple tree and say, come, and the apple will come to their hand and they'll throw it back on and it'll regrow. They can dance in the sky, they can burrow underground and swim without an oxygen mask. So someone who can do that with a consort is someone who can do those things.
But you don't have to necessarily have a consort to do something. That's kind of my main question. That's the one I'm always unsure of.
Rinpoche, yeah, you can't.
Everyone has
you can't. You have to do that practice to become enlightened. But it doesn't. It can be imagined.
Okay.
Or like a monk, a deity would come. It wouldn't be like, you have, see these weird people doing this stuff? I know what you're talking about. It's on the internet where they're teaching it on live video. The highest yoga tantra practice with a consort. I don't know if they can do those things that we just mentioned,
yeah,
but I personally take that barrel of information.
Yeah.
I read the prayer through, and I put it over here a little bit.
Right.
Because I can't do any of that stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
If I focus on that and I miss the Four Noble Truths and I miss it, changing my behavior,
yeah.
And I focus on all these things that are for other people, other folks, holy, holy beings.
Yeah.
Not saying you're not. I'm talking about me only. You may be a ninth round bodhisattva and I can't see anything because of my obstructions. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to talk to you like a child, but I'm saying, like, I know so little about it.
Yeah.
And I know so little about it. And I've only been his translator for what, 20? And like, so if he hasn't told me so much about it, it seems like maybe I'm not supposed to say so much about it. So
yeah,
I'm not, so I just want to, I don't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah,
it's just very subtle.
Yeah.
And you know, there's books,
yeah.
But if you focus on the foundational teachings,
yeah.
that stuff will happen.
Yeah,
Tantra is a result. It will happen.
Yeah.
It's like you practice the beautiful Prajnaparamita and then you touch this and it just blossoms. It's something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a, but that practice is for somebody who's just about to be enlightened, and it's so that they can do stuff with their internal chemistry,
right.
Spiritually. And it's not stuff that someone can do without, first of all, being a bodhisattva. Let's start there.
Yeah.
So if you day and night think of anything, like if you're like, man, I really want some Twizzlers for me because I love Twizzlers. Like day and night, if you're not thinking of what you can do for others and only that, that's like the starting point of like Tantra.
Watch it.
You know? Okay. So that's enough. Is that a cool?
That's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
He remembers to say, I think we have another question over there. Yes.
I want to piggyback on Daniel.
Oh, good. I thought you meant Coleman's. I was going to go inside.
Is
yeah.
It just that there's one land and you just don't experience it? Are they different lands?
Your experience is, your karma is making your experience all of the time. So when you no longer have any karma to present something that's not pure in front of you any longer, you're in a pure land. That would be your experience, but it would be a pure land. That's why all the Buddhas are a little different, have different affinities, because they all had different affinities on the path. So your path will lead you, once you have no longer the thing to see anything that's not pure, to experience what your pure land experiences. So Rinpoche, the Dajin, Sacha Chi, Susur Dajin, Mekanga Susur Dajin, Yomaribe. Yeah, everyone had, Natsu this susu dajin. Natsu dajin ngadan kon dajin. Nyamdu de tudu. Yeah, we all have our own individual pure land. This is when I learned that it was my samsara. It took me really a long time. I still don't think I really get it, but it's like your experience is being thrown on you by all of your past karma. So anything negative you see is done by that. But when you're doing virtue and you're connecting with things and you're seeing things that are beautiful, I love beautiful flowers, you're collecting kind of like aptitude, like affinities at the same time. So when you become a Buddha, those affinities kind of are blossom into the experience of only happiness of the flowers. Here I go again. Or only happiness of the Twizzlers. Or you know what I'm saying? So you have some sort of connection to something that is happy, and then that thing appears not impure. So it's your individual place. I said, can she and I share a pure land? He said, later you have all of your own individual pure lands. Nga dajin dena, nga kon ton tugudue, kon dajin yuna, nan che tem, cham che chemba. Yeah, I can see her though, in her pure land, but I can't, but if I'm omniscient, I can see her experience too, so I'm not sure. I was just about to say, well, but I can't see her experience. But if I'm omniscient and a Buddha, then I can. Maybe. Yes. Yes. Yes.
There's still suffering in that land, but Buddha doesn't experience
That's a big debate. Boy, that's a big, big debate. I ask him about this all the time. I don't have my head around that great, but we'll do it right now. But the Buddha, here's just real quickly. The Buddha can't. It's not like, oh, and then the Buddha decides. The Buddha is forced to go. The Buddha is in what's called a non-abiding nirvana. Why is that? Why doesn't the Buddha stay? Because the bodhisattva path has conditioned that mind to work for the welfare of all sentient beings. So if there's one sentient being that has a need, the Buddha is not independent. The Buddha is forced by the Buddha's karma to go help. But the Buddha is in a pure land. So the Buddha, because the Buddha's omniscient, can see, this is our big debate. So if the Buddha then can see dirty, awful things, well then if he's omniscient, he has to be able to see everything, but is it suffering when he sees it? Big debate at the monastery, big, around in circles. It goes around and around. I heard it for days. Okay, all right, go ahead. Okay.
So does that mean that when Buddha attains Buddhahood,
yes,
Buddha is sitting in, say, a body like this in a pure land?
Yeah, okay. And emanating a body wherever it's needed, too.
Still in that pure land.
The Buddha can emanate as many bodies as needed. Because the Buddha is abiding the Dharmakaya at all times, the cessation of suffering, but that's just an actual state of not suffering. And the Buddha is abiding at all times in omniscience. Those are the two Dharma bodies, the omniscience and then the cessation of suffering. And then the enjoyment body, the Longku, Dakpar, Yurube. Yeah, and there's always there's always an enjoyment body. What if there's no sentient beings left that are not, yeah. So there's the Rinpoche, Semchen, Mena, Longku, Yu. Okay, but if there's no sentient beings, there's no enjoyment body. So if there's a need, the Buddha is forced by his or her previous bodhisattva path to help. We're getting to your question, though. So the Buddha is forced to help, will go help. Even in the pure enjoyment body, the Buddha's always there teaching. But if there's no sentient being, there's no enjoyment body being presented. Because the enjoyment body is qualified by it being surrounded by the retinue of Arya Bodhisattvas. So if there aren't Arya Bodhisattvas to teach, then there's no need for an enjoyment body. So there's no need for the compassion to push. There won't be a Buddha sitting there. So it's all about the need and the connectivity that the Buddha has to that sentient being. The Buddha is not a magician. Doesn't wash away the sins with water, etc. That quote teaches the holy Dharma to those who are suitable basises. But there's, because of karma, there's got to be some kind of connection. That's why one Buddha doesn't just fix everything. You know, we don't all have the connection to every single Buddha or even a Buddha in this life, maybe. The Buddha knows we're there, but the Buddha can't change our karma. So the Buddha can't be forced to, karma is very difficult to understand how the causes and conditions even the Buddha relies on of karma. Not relies on, is forced upon, if you will. Yeah, kind of like, yeah, it's, yeah, like it's what makes everything happen. It's what's driving the Buddha's helping. So Rinpoche, Kongi Chua Shera Yabudu, Kong Shanchu the Sanje True, then Atsu Ropa Chegudu, then Atsu Dugyal Demba Yure, then Atsu the Korwa, Atsu the Dugyal Mamudu, then Sanje Lena. Kong the Dunya Yurube. Sanje. Nene the Sanje Dunya Tongudu. Nene Sanje Dunya Tona. Kong Sam Chipo Yomaribe. Chipo Yomari Chipudu. Dakpar Chipudu. Okay, so the Buddha, I asked him when the Buddha emanates in our world, there's suffering. And there is the truth of suffering, etc. So does the Buddha suffer in this world? He went like that. You saw that. I was like, no. And then I said, does the Buddha see the suffering? He said, yes. And I said, does that make his mind sad or upset? And he said, no, it stays the same. So you know, I was taught previously that the Buddha, not by, you know, just I was taught, and I held on to it for a very long time, that the Buddha couldn't see bad things. Like the Buddha couldn't see dirty things because the Buddha was in this tantric heaven, angels all around him, or only angels, but that the Buddha could see the imprints and that the Buddha was omniscient. And by knowing that those imprints caused this or that, could assume it was there. But then that always seems like the Buddha's relying on jepak and relying on a sign. And the Buddha directly experiences everything conventionally and ultimate. So I struggled with that for a long time also. So that's why I'm really heavily invested in that question, because I don't think that I'm fully happy with where I've landed on it yet either. Like, what's a Buddha see? Like, okay, now you're a Buddha. What is it all looking like? What is it, you know, what does it look like now? Like, does it look the same? And you're like, I'm good. Yep, there's a car wreck. Yep, there's someone really happy. I got to help the car. Like, how are you, like, your compassion knows that suffering. I just, it's very hard topic for me to connect that part of what, and then I just throw it out because what's a Buddha see? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Nade mambo sanlo dangu sanje gare tongu metu shera yapo tu yine metu kanga shera yapo yomare metu kashe rusu yine the sanje the metu ru the shera yapo du sanlo dangu do yine rusu then call the rusu the yapo yomare sapa the ru shera yapo du Nicha sanlo dangamare? Danyom? Dandrapudu?
Ruba ruba tungare. Maruba maruba tungare.
So the Buddha, if it's rotten, he sees it. If it's not rotten, I said, so he sees a flower that's rotten. Does he say, oh, that's a wonderful rotten flower? Like, does he think it's beautiful? Or just because he's got only the karma to see wonderful things? For real, our eye consciousness sees. And then we respond, you know, oh, that's wonderful, beautiful. So I guess it's, if it's, you're attracted to it. This is, by the way, what happens in Chura, in Drepung. Yes. Yes. It's the question I just asked him about Danyom. Great. Then Danyom Yuna. The danyom dan drapudu, Sanjay, the yapo, yapio, the danyom, the mingi dagadue.
Danyom said that.
Danyom dan drapudu, parme gewasun. The kanga, danyom, that's thinking benefit. It's a different meaning loaded in that word danyom. What's a better word for me to use? For more neutral that doesn't have like benefit loaded in it. Yeah. The yiptumwa kanga the machepa that da matzina Sanjay. Then okay, so yeah, so you just said what you said, the yiptumwa and danyo.
The assumption behind it that when you say something is good or bad, we're projecting that.
Right, right.
So that assumption is there. That's why the way to say it directly without saying you're projecting. Like the question.
I tried the mingida. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm just saying, yeah. If you translate back to the English speaker, that was the question. That was saying projecting.
Yeah. で、メトゥで、イトモ、メトゥで、イトモ。で、ナツ、セン。で、ミキナパシェバトナ、で、ミヒウォンボで、ど。でね、ナツイチナパシェバ、でサノダ。で、イトモだ、イトモ、カシェジングド、カシェガマガグ。サンジェで、イルベ。 So the Buddha does have this differentiation of being able to say this is good or this is bad. So I said that we see with our eye, powered by our icon power, sense power, this flower, and then our mental consciousness says this is an attractive one or this is not an attractive one. Does the Buddha do that? And he said the Buddha does that. So then what makes it, that's where I just have to hit the brakes. Is there more I could say, Losan La? Yeah, okay. I think it's just my head's not satisfied with it, so I'm looking for everyone else not to be, maybe.
Yeah, I think like this idea that somehow people think they're good or bad isn't reality.
It's
a Western idea, but it's
Yeah, yeah. It seems like that. Because Rinpoche always says, I'm saying, well, the Buddha can't see that. The Buddha's omniscient. He keeps saying that to me. Like, if the Buddha's omniscient, the Buddha can see all of these things. He can see the dutsi, the truck, and the chew. So it's so strange. But can he see what they see? That's the one I want. Of course he can. Like, oh, well, that's a hungry ghost sitting near a human, and they're seeing two different things. And wow, he's suffering more because it's all that that I get twisted up with, guys. Yes, Don.
Chio Mamadu.
Introduced the pure land. Is the pure land the same thing as the Buddha nature?
Sanje Jik Dan Dajin Chepagare.
Sanje Jik.
Sanje Jrik Dang Dajin Chipa?
Chipa Yimar. Sanje Jrik Sanje Samar Yoris.
Okay, so all, they are not the same. I asked what's the difference, it's like how you would debate. Like, do they have a common locus or anything that in common? And he said, all sentient beings have Buddha nature.
It's worse, no? Sanje Gungala Yiji Shiba Dua. Yiji Shiba Dema Matuba Dua. What did
Sanje Gungala? So if you were to say, posit that which is this Buddha nature, you would say the mental consciousness and the lack of true establishment of the mental consciousness. So if you were to say, you know, prove this or posit this, you would say the mental consciousness and the lack of true establishment of the mental consciousness is this Buddha nature. So that's what Buddha nature is. So all sentient beings have this nature, this Buddha nature. They have this mental consciousness and a mental consciousness that's not truly established. The name, the Dajin.
Dajin? Dajin.
And then a pure land is a land there where there is no suffering or origin of suffering. A land that is suffering and origin of suffering less. So one is a pure land, as you would think it, the experience of a world, I guess you could say, or the world that's experienced. That's it. The world that's experienced by someone who doesn't have the truth of suffering or origin of suffering is a pure land. Could be, because they experience other things too, but one such experience they have is a pure land. Rinpoche, the Goden, Dajin, Yimba. Okay, so yeah, there's other experiences than pure land. I just didn't know if they said the cessation was a pure land, if they ever said, like, you know what I mean, that state of being is a pure land. So so there are states of beings besides pure land, but a state of being in a pure land is a land where there is no suffering of origin of suffering. So different. Buddha nature and pure land are different. But because we all have Buddha nature, we all have the potential for pure land. Pure land potential. You know what I mean? But it's not, it's Charpa Majung because, yes, go ahead.
Would you say then that we already have the Buddha nature?
We do. We all sentient beings have Buddha nature.
We already have pure land.
No. We are not, because we have truth of suffering and origin of suffering. It's not a teaching. Yeah. That we just don't know it, that there's this Buddha inside of us that needs to blossom out, There's a teaching like that, and actually Kala Chakra gives a teaching like you come out of it, like a snake coming out of its skin, but it's a lot of its metaphors, and the potential is there. The purity isn't there yet. Prove it. We're sitting here right now in cyclic existence, have suffering, origin of suffering. So if you have suffering of origin of suffering, then you don't have Pure Land. You have Pure Land potential, though, just like Buddha nature. So you're not already a Buddha. You have the potential to be one. You're not already in a Pure Land. You have the potential to be, have a Pure Land. Yes. Dharmakaya and Prajnaparamita. Okay. There's one other thought I wanted to say about the... I'll get back to it. Dharmakaya, Chukku, and Prajnaparamita Dishimba. Okay. It takes me a second. Chukku. Dan Sherab Jibaro Dishimba. Chipa.
No.
The Dharmakaya is permanent, and the Prajnaparamita is impermanent, so they're different. So if you were to say the Shira Jibaro Dishimba, Shosena Bom Nitri.
Shira Jibaro Dishimba, Shira Jibaro Dishimba.
So if it is omniscience, it is necessarily the perfection of Prajnaparamita, perfection of wisdom. Is that what we say? Yeah. So if it is omniscience, it is the perfection of wisdom. Then hey, the chukku, yeshe chukku, mo ni chukku, yeshe chukku, nan chen yin. Then nan chen the. Nanchen yena shere jibaro de shimba yin bi cha shere jibaro de shimba yena nanchen yin bi ma cha show boom. Okay, I'm gonna need help. Yeah, it's just guessing. Real quick. Shere jibaro de shimba. Oh, so it's synonymous with, so the perfection of wisdom and omniscience are synonymous. Nene the chuku ngo ni chuku yeshege chuku ni yeshege chuku nan chen yin. Then the share jibaro de shimba yin nan chen yin a yimi cha dun chi. So a lot of new information coming out today. So in answering your question, there's a very, very close connection. Because when you look at the exalted wisdom body and the nature body of the Dharmakaya, the exalted wisdom body is the omniscience of the Buddha. So that omniscience is synonymous with the perfection of wisdom. So omniscience and perfection of wisdom are synonymous. So if you ask, is the Dharmakaya the same as the perfection of wisdom? The general answer is no. Just like... when there's a lot of things that you say, the answer is permanent, but it doesn't mean it's always permanent. So that when you say Dharmakaya, you say the Dharmakaya is permanent. Is the Dharmakaya always permanent? No. The Yeshige Chukko Chuchen, the exalted wisdom body, is not permanent. It is Dharmakaya. So we would say Dharmakaya is permanent. Omniscience or the perfection of wisdom is impermanent. But there is a what's the word? It's like a sighting, or it's a circumstance, or there's a word the good translators use, an instance. Yeah, but there are instances where the Dharmakaya is impermanent, and that instance is during that state of omniscience, and that state of omniscience is synonymous with perfection of wisdom. So then a nanchen. Dan chuku, gyawa yomari. Nanchen dan the shere jibaro de shimba dan chuku chapa gare mu.
Ishi chuku dan monyego ni yoro. Shere jibaro de shimba dan monyego. Kewaru.
Hold on. Shirajibara de Shimba Dang Chuku.
Shirajibara de Shimba Dang Chuku Ni.
Macha. Shirajibara de Shimba Yina.
Shirajibara
Musum.
Chuku
Musum. Musum. So if you put the two topics together of the perfection of wisdom and Dharmakaya, and you say, are there three possibilities, four possibilities, are they mutually exclusive, are they synonymous? You'll say that if it is a Dharmakaya, this is going to take me a second, if it is a Dharmakaya, it is not necessarily the perfection of wisdom. And you would say, show. And then you would say, the nature body. The nature body is not perfection of wisdom because it's permanent. The perfection of wisdom is impermanent. If it's perfection of wisdom, it's necessarily impermanent. The Shirajibara de Shimba Yena, the Tapa Yambicha, Rinpoche? Mitapa Yambicha? Mitapa Yambicha. Okay. So if it is Prajnaparamita, if it is perfection of wisdom, it is necessarily impermanent. Okay, so we see one mu there. We see one thing where there is something which is not, something which is Dharmakaya, but not, I'm sorry, something which is, let me just start it over. Let's start with the first pervasion. Let's do Dharmakaya and perfection of wisdom. There's something which is Dharmakaya, but not perfection of wisdom. You would say, what is that? The nature body. The nature body is not perfection of wisdom. The nature body is permanent. If it's perfection of wisdom, it's necessarily impermanent. So you've just done what you need to do around that. Now, if you switch it around and say the perfection of wisdom and the Dharmakaya, if it is the perfection of wisdom, it's necessarily the Dharmakaya. Then you would say yes, because the Shirajibara de Shimba Yena Chuku Yambicha. Okay, so if it is the perfection of wisdom, it's necessarily the Dharmakaya. Why? Because it's omniscience and the Dharma and the perfection of wisdom are synonymous, where the instance of the omniscience is in the exalted wisdom body of the Dharmakaya. So you see a common locus there. You see something which is A and B. Something which is you see that you have, if it is a perfection of wisdom, it is necessarily the Dharmakaya, because if it is a perfection of wisdom, it's necessarily omniscience. If it's omniscience, it's necessarily Dharmakaya. Show, if they say show the instance of the Dharmakaya that is the perfection of wisdom, that is omniscience, you would say the exalted wisdom body. Now, something which is both, you could say something which is both Dharmakaya and perfection of wisdom would be the omniscience of a Buddha. Is Dharmakaya is the both of those things. And then something which is neither is a rabbit with horns. So you see there's three possibilities or permutations when you compare those two. So Dharmakaya is not necessarily perfection of wisdom, nature body. Perfection of wisdom is necessarily Dharmakaya, nature, exalted wisdom body. Something which is both would be the exalted wisdom body is both, yes, is the perfection of wisdom. Omniscience, you could use. Can you use Namchen for the Nika Yimbimu? Yeah, and yeah. Oh yeah, I forgot. You get out of the box a little. You can use some silly ones too, like the color red or something that's just like, oh God, for some reason it works and it makes no sense, but it does. Anyways, it's not in that case, but so, and then something which is neither. So three permutations. So there's connectivity there. You see there's connectivity, but they're not synonymous. The beginning question, are they synonymous? So when you wait, you find out, why are these tools important? You ask the question if they're synonymous. How do we chop away to the fact that they're not? We figured out that they have three possibilities. There's connectivity and instances, but they aren't synonymous because all instances aren't there. There aren't eight doors of pervasion. I don't know if you remember that from class. If it is this, it is that. If it isn't that, it isn't that. If you have that, you have that. You don't have that, you don't have that. Like all that. There's eight of them. And it's, you just need really one of them for sure. But the eight really drive it home. So you probably do need all eight. I'm not that clever. Thanks, David. Let me look on the computer. No questions. Well, it was going, right? Awesome. Okay, let's do the, does everybody have all the questions? We're good. Let's do the concluding mandala offering and dedicate Shere Yabudu, Triwa Mambudu, Shere Yabure. Okay. Tuchena Rinpoche, Sobudu. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers. Adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon, I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure land. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. Whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In the heavenly realm of Tibet, surrounded by a chain of snow mountains, the source of all happiness and help for beings is Tenzin Gyatso, Chen Rezig in person. May his life be secure for hundreds of kalpas. I pray for the long life of the precious Kensar Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, the spiritual friend who trains extensively in the five great philosophical texts, with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Suji Rinpoche, Gutsi Shapi Denala. You could do the Shacha Tupa Nanshen Yimbale Loba, Yimbale Loba, Yimbale Loba, Yimbale Loba, Yimbale Loba. Okay. Yes, Scott. Oh, we do. How many do we have nominee? Oh, that's fine.